Excuse me, may I talk to you for a second? Yes. This is the Black Real Estate Dialogue. And the purpose of the Black Real Estate Dialogue is to document the journey of an up-and-coming real estate investor and to share the stories of successful Black real estate investors. So you want to start a podcast, huh? Well, we got something to help you. The Black Real Estate Dialogue brings you the How to Start a Successful Podcast on a Budget with No Experience ebook and webinar bundle.
We are controlling transmission.
Come and put info into action as we show you the step-by-step process to sharing your successful podcast on a budget. This bundle is full of the exact details, social media hacks, and podcasting process we've used to gain 13,000 downloads and over 10,000 Instagram followers. But that's not all. As a bonus, you'll receive the exact super trackers we use to stay organized and free access to our private Facebook group designed to help you execute. Make sure you click that link now because there is an audience for you to reach. The How to Start a Successful Podcast on a Budget with No Experience, the ebook and webinar bundle presented by the Black Real Estate Dialogue. Do you really think investing in real estate is too expensive? Well, you wrong about that. Presenting a beginner's guide to buying your first out-of-state property, a Black Real Estate Dialogue course. That's right, it's the new course presented by the Black Real Estate Dialogue, teaching you how to develop the investor's mindset, the advantages of investing out of state, getting your finances in order, finding the right location, assembling your team, creating financing strategies, how to find and analyze properties, how to find tenants, real-life case studies, and so much more in bonus content.
Oh yeah, did we mention you have lifetime access?
My goodness! If you have dreams of buying a property out of state but have no idea where to start, well, this is the guide for you. Learn the tips from someone with firsthand experience. Are you looking for a community of like-minded individuals and access to experts in real estate?
Yeah.
Are you interested in real estate but need more support and guidance?
You know who it is.
The Black Real Estate Dialogue presents the Real Estate Investing Community. No matter how much or how little real estate experience you have, we've created a community for you because your perspective is important. All right, tell me, where's the number one place where you can do Q&A with experienced guest speakers 2 times per month? How about unlimited access to past guest speakers' recordings? What about a private Slack channel to engage in daily discussion with everybody in the community to share resources and support each other? Head on over to blackrealestatedialogue.com. That's blackrealestatedialogue.com. It's the real estate investing community presented by the Black Real Estate Dialogue. Come join us today.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast, episode 70. A few quick announcements before we get into this week's episode. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe on whichever platforms you're listening to this on. It will help us move up in the rankings. It will also help us to reach more people. So thank you in advance for helping us in that way. Also, please take a moment to leave a rating and a review. If you want to gain early access to episodes, bonus content, discounts on merch, and more, join our Patreon program. Visit patreon.com/blackrealestatedialogue to join or visit the link in the show notes. This episode is sponsored by the Bread Real Estate Investing Community. If you're looking for a group of like-minded individuals and exclusive access to experienced real estate investors, look no further. Each month, we have master classes that are taught by experienced investors in various areas of real estate 2 times per month. You have unlimited access to past guest speaker recordings, which means as soon as you join, you gain access to our library of over 10 past recordings to learn about various areas of real estate, access to our private Slack channel to engage in daily discussion with everyone in the community, to share resources and also to support one another. You can get all of this for the low price of $1 per day. So if you're interested, go to blackrealestatedialogue.com or click the link in the show notes. I'm very excited about this episode. I really enjoyed this interview. So without further ado, let's get into it. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast. I am very excited for this episode today. Here with me, I have Janine Smith out of Atlanta, Georgia. Janine, thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Definitely, for sure. So to start off, could you just tell the audience a bit about who you are?
Absolutely. So my name is Janine Smith. I am the founder of Black Girls in Real Estate and also the founder of the B Mogul Group. I fix and flip and build homes here in the Atlanta market. through my business, the Be Mogul Group. And then through Black Girls in Real Estate, we are becoming the number one community to educate, connect, and bring investment opportunities to Black women in real estate. So we have a little over 31,000 members in our Facebook group and a little over 12,000 on Instagram.
Wow, that's a pretty big audience.
Yes, it's growing.
Definitely. When did you start Black Girls in Real Estate?
So actually, we've only been in existence for about a year and 4 months now. So everything I've done has been organic. We've just naturally grown. I don't even know how to run Facebook ads or any of that. So I just started the platform because I truly felt like there were other African-American women that were in the space of fixing and flipping and might need, you know, just a place and an opportunity to just connect and to learn about, you know, what's going on in the economy, what's going on with our inventory, investment opportunities. And I was going to a lot of the local RIA groups, but I just wasn't really seeing people that looked like me. So I was like, okay, I'll just start this group and see what happens. And it originally was me and my mom. And then now it's just, you know, exploded to about a little over, like I said, 31,000 women. So out of it, we do master classes. I have ebooks, coaching, and then it's a lot of like camaraderie between the women because it's not just women that build and fix and flip. We have agents, we have wholesalers, we have loan officers, we have people that want to get into real estate. So they use it as a place to start learning and, you know, seeing what does that mean? What does real estate mean? Some people don't even understand or have a knack for what that is. So it gives everyone a place to just truly be themselves, but then also to connect. So it's been wonderful. I love it. It's been a game changer.
Definitely, definitely. Shout out to you. That's an amazing movement. And you know, I looked on Thank the page. You. I'm like, wow, this is some really cool stuff. So shout out to you for that.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Awesome. Definitely. So I would love to hear more about your childhood. What that was like, and specifically what you saw, or maybe what you didn't see, that ultimately shaped your view of what it means to build wealth?
That's a fantastic question. So I grew up in an area called Homewood Flossmoor, specifically more so in the Flossmoor area. And the wonderful thing about that is that it was a community that really highlighted and had a huge population for like diversity. So my school at the time was like a 60-40 split. It was, you know, 40% African-American students, 60% white. So it was just a lot of diversity there. And I think that's, you know, kind of what carried me into, you know, who I am and what I look for. I saw a lot of Black wealth growing up. Lots of entrepreneurs, doctors, businessmen and women. So, you know, it's funny. I was just having this conversation with my aunt and we were just talking about how, you know, at that time, college was never something we thought about as an option. It was just like, you have to go. It was like, okay, if you don't go to college, what happened here? What was wrong? And that was the environment, I guess, that I just grew up in. And so that was what I focused on. Like, okay, I have to, you know, go to college, get a great job. While I was in college, I worked for the Oprah Winfrey Show, which really started to kind of change my mindset and start really thinking about entrepreneurship, seeing what another, you know, Black woman was able to accomplish, and just to be young and in that environment, it just really enriched me and made me believe kind of anything was possible. However, as an adult, I was like, okay, these entrepreneur dreams, this is not going to pay the bills. I need to go get a job. So I was working for Enterprise, like Step Brothers. Had that joke, like, I'm going to just go to work at Enterprise and, you know, I'm just going to become my own boss. That was what I, you know, wanted to do. And so I went there and then I went to Farmers Insurance and I went to Allstate and I was like, okay, cool. You know, I'll become a recruiter. And I was successful at that, but I was just never happy. And I felt like I was kind of dying inside, like all my creativity. I didn't have an out for it. I was overweight, kind of miserable. And I went through just a really kind of bad breakup that pushed me into a mindset of entrepreneurship. And from there, I've just been running ever since with it. But it was just so many different shifts in, I guess, my background, where it's like, okay, college, business, work for someone. No, I don't want to do any of that. I want to go be my own person. And that's basically what has been created.
Got you. Very cool. So it seems like, you know, you had the opportunity to see a lot of Black success, entrepreneurship, and so forth when you're growing up, which I think is great. It's very, very powerful. But what I'm curious to know is, like, what was it about like real estate? Because as you spoke, you didn't really mention a lot about real estate, I guess, growing up and as you transitioned through your adolescence and such. So what was the spark that was like, you know what, I wanted to pursue entrepreneurship, and one part of that, I want that to be real estate. What was that moment for you?
Absolutely. So growing up, real estate was never even on my forefront. I never even thought about it. I was like, oh, okay, you know, whatever. When it really started to become real, there was another really wealthy, affluent African-American family in our neighborhood. And I was friends with their daughter, and they owned a dealership. And they were like, okay, how they got the funds to start it was through real estate. So they were fixing and flipping, took the money, and then, you know, branched out and went into entrepreneurship. And in my mind, I was like, okay, well, that could be like a vessel or a vehicle. So I always thought about it. Well, basically during the time I was working at Farmers Insurance, I had bought a home. I had started to build equity in it. I was house hacking. I was a single mom. And I was like, okay, I need more money. So how do I do this? Because I work so much. I'm commuting 4 hours a day. Like, how do I even make something like this work? So I started watching and listening to Bigger Pockets, and they were talking about, okay, the Burr method, right? And I'm like, oh, well, do I really want to live with people? And I was like, you know what? Let me see what I could get. Okay. At the time, my mortgage was $777. I took in two roommates and I charged them $700. So now my extra money, I had money in my pocket to kind of live my life. And I aggressively started paying down my mortgage. Well, that helped because, you know, the market boomed. And I had $50,000 worth of equity in my home. And so my fiance, well, he was my boyfriend at the time. He's like, hey, do you understand equity? I was like, I think I do. He's a financial advisor. He's like, well, let's make sure you do. He's like, this is what it works. This is what it is. And I was like, oh, well, I love HGTV. I was like, I always watch it. I want to, you know, flip homes, but well, let's do it. Okay. So I took $20,000 of, I took $10,000 of my bonus. And I was like, all right, instead of buying some ugly furniture that I'm never going to, you know, use next year, I'm just going to fix my house up. So I painted my home. I got new carpet, new vanities, everything. And I was like, all right, cool. Let's see what happens off of this. Listed my home. 3 days later, I had an above asking offer. I closed out 7 days later and I had a little over $70,000 in my bank account. And I was like, holy, what? This just worked. I was like, this just worked. Oh my God, this worked. So now I'm sold, right? But I'm like, okay, now I'm homeless. Like, where, you know, like, where am I going to go? So my fiance and I, he was my boyfriend again at the time, we moved into an apartment, was like, all right, let's just do this. Like, let's see if we can get a house and start fixing and flipping. So I broker now for a company called Ground Floor, but Ground Floor was the first company that gave me funds to start fixing and flipping. So I paid off half my debt, took the other half, leveraged it, went and got a hard money loan. And honestly, that's the story. I've been rolling ever since with it. But it was just something that was an idea. I was like, I always said, okay, you know, I really do want to own properties around colleges and I want to do all these things. But it was like, how do I get in the space to even get that? And to get there, I just leveraged my biggest asset, which was my home, which some people, you know, they say, oh, it's a liability. Well, for me, it was the best asset I ever had. And it changed my life.
Definitely. Couple questions. So one thing you mentioned is that you had some equity built up in your home. And that ultimately you sold it and then, you know, you sold it. Now, you know how it is. People are like, oh, I'm never selling my house. Don't ever sell your house. And I'm glad that you offer a different perspective. So can you dive a bit more into that and just talk about why you felt that was the right move for you and why people should be more open-minded when it comes to that kind of thing?
I get this question all the time because people are like, I'm not in a space where I want to sell my home. I just bought it. And, you know, being more experienced now too, I understand, you know, you can refinance, you can pull out HELOCs, you can do all those things. But at the time for me too, I was just ready to make a different move. I wanted to transition. I knew this wasn't a forever home. I also didn't want to rent this home. And the market was so rich. So I was like, you know what? I want a big hit. Like, I want all my money so that I can use that to grow. And that's what made me choose to do it. Instead of like adding, you know, more debt and trying to pay it off later. I wanted the large amount of money. And that was the fastest way for me to get it. And that was, again, the best move that I ever made. And I know it's risky and some people are like, oh my gosh, I don't know if I want to do that. But in this crazy market right now, everything going highest and best, cash offers. It's like, I know this was, you know, almost four or five years ago now for me, but it's even richer now. Like, it's even more opportunity. So it worked out for me. I loved it. I was ready to make a change.
Definitely. I appreciate that. appreciate that explanation. Mm-hmm. And something you mentioned was a company that provided you with the funds for your first fix and flip. Was that a hard money lender?
They are. Yep. They're called Ground Floor. They're here in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. I do broker with them. So if anyone's interested or need fix and flip funds, excuse me, you can definitely reach out to me. But they were fantastic because they're easy to work with. The great thing about them, you know, it's a 640 credit score, LLC, EIN, and you just need to, you know, basically have money for down payment, which is about 20 to 25% down at this time. And they offer what is looked at as like a deferred payment option. So typically with traditional hard money companies, you're going to have that monthly interest payment up front. And that makes it difficult, right? It's already hard to have down payment. Now I have to have more money up front to keep paying it out. And then you're hoping that your flip goes well. Well, the great thing about them is that monthly payment, it goes onto the backside of the loan. So it's still accruing. However, you don't have to pay it until you get to the closing table. So it's 1 year loan deferred. They don't ask for tax returns. They don't ask for W-2s. So they're truly lending on the asset. And I view them as being investor friendly, especially for people that are entrepreneurs. I may not have a W-2, you know, or 1099s or whatever. So they're just very easy to work with. You can have up to four deals at one time. And I love them. They do fix and flip and new build. So pretty much all my loans are 100% through them.
Got it. Are they based do they lend exclusively in Atlanta?
Not exclusively. So they're in 31 states.
Oh, wow.
And they're pretty much, they're heavy through the Southeast. They only do new builds in Georgia, Florida, and North Carolina. But in the other 31 states that they're in, they do fix and flip deferred.
Got it. Very good to know. I guess for those who are not familiar with what a hard money lender is, could you explain just from your perspective, a short description of what that is and how they can help someone invest?
Absolutely. So a hard money loan is a loan that's going to include a percentage of your purchase price and typically 100% of your your rehab budget, using for that. Typically, they are going to loan anywhere from like a loan to cost or a loan to the ARV, which is your after repair value of the home. Ground Floor lends on loan to cost. So you're taking your purchase price plus your rehab, you're multiplying it by, let's say they lend at 0.75%, that's your down payment. And the more experience that you have and the more loans that, you know, you do with them, the rate gets better. So after about four houses or four fix and flips that you do, it goes to about 90% for their lending. And then right now they have a really cool program where if you have 10 or more fix and flips, they're doing almost 100% funding. So they're a wonderful company. Hard money is more so asset-based lending. They're lending on the current value of the home, your rehab budget, and then from there, what you believe you'll sell it for, which is your after repair value.
Got it. Appreciate that explanation. Talk to us about that first fix and flip. You had no prior experience. Seemed like you and your fiance were like, all right, we just gonna figure this out. Let's do this. So can you talk to us about what that experience was like?
Yes. Oh my gosh. So our first real deal that we did together was insane. I mean, I think I've made every mistake that a person that, you know, as a fix and flipper can absolutely make, you know, underestimating budget, thinking, okay, I can do all this work by myself, not having the right team. You know, it was just a great learning experience. And that's one of the reasons why I like coaching, because that coaching provides people with leverage to not make all those expensive mistakes. You're paying for somebody's expertise and knowledge so that you can go out there and just be, you know, 100% profitable from the jump. I have been blessed in that all my projects have been profitable. I have not taken a loss, even when, you know, it may have been difficult. But I remember on our first one, who's going to do the lawn? Like, who's going to do the sod? And it's like, oh, we didn't budget enough for the labor part of it. We have enough for the materials. And I'm out there with stiletto nails, like laying sod. And to this day, I still enjoy doing some of the work. The yard work is my favorite. I do like to do that. But at this point now, you know, we have teams and processes and it's a lot smoother of a process. But when we first got started, it was real interesting.
Yeah. How did it feel to get to the finish line and, you know, get the home sold and all that during that first experience? I know you mentioned it was tough, you know, you made some mistakes and you figured some things out, but How did it feel when you just got to the closing table and the deal was done?
It felt victorious to me, more so because during that first flip, not my home, but my first flip, I lost my job. And I was like, oh my gosh, I have no other means of income. So I literally threw myself into this house. I mean, day and night, I'm like working, listening to like church music, trying to like stay mentally strong and get through the process. Because I'm like going through the grieving process of like, okay, I just lost my income. I lost my job. I lost this title, the company car, the Amex, like, oh my God, you know, who is Janine without this? And this flip really helped me to learn who I am as a woman, as an entrepreneur. I was able to, you know, learn about hard work and a little bit of grit. And so it was just like one of those moments at the closing table where I was like, okay, I'm dope. I can do this and I can make this work. And that was it. I was like, I'm never going back to corporate. I mean, I basically got my salary dropped into my bank account within like 90 days of finishing the flip. So I was sold. I was like, I don't need someone to, you know, kind of tell me my worth or whatnot. No bashing to like 9 to 5, but I was just tired of it. It's like, I can do this. And that's where I got to. Wow. So it was a wonderful feeling. Yeah.
Wow. That's powerful for many reasons, but just think, I'm just picturing it, right? You lose your job in the midst of this first project. And at that moment, that's like a pivotal moment, right? Because at that time, you could have decided, well, I lost my job. Maybe this is not worth it. And maybe you could have just given up on that too, but you didn't. Mm-hmm. You persevered. You did your best to just get to the finish line. And I think there's a big lesson in that because, you know, life happens to us all, right? But a lot of it is like how you respond. And if you responded in a different way, we probably wouldn't be sitting here today.
Definitely not. I mean, it was literally like fight or flight. I didn't even have Black girls in real estate at this point, right? It wasn't even something I was thinking about. Like I was thinking about survival and success. Mm-hmm. And I already had it in my mind. I was like, I really want to transition from what I identified as being like an ordinary person living like an ordinary life. I wanted to be extraordinary. And I think that's still like my overall goal to continue to like push myself to personal excellence. And that was the start of it. Like I got so tough. Like I used to just like cry like, oh my God, no. That person is no longer there. But it just was a really empowering moment.
Definitely. Definitely. Amazing. So you got that first deal done. How did things progress from there? Like what was the next move after that?
The next move was to get another house. So we did another flip. I found another one on the same street. And then after that, I was like, okay, wait, do you think we can maybe, you know, Grant Cardone always talks about like 10Xing and growing the vision. I was like, okay, so what if we got 3 at one time, which was insane. So we jumped out there. We're like, we're going to grow this thing. Let's just go big. And that's what we did. So we were like, okay, we'll do 3 at a time. And of course, again, as you scale with any business, you go through things, right? You learn. It's not as easy as it looks. But again, it still worked out. We were still successful with it. And two, it's always interesting because my fix and flips, I do with my fiance. So it's like you're working with your person all day long. You got to go home to the person all day long. So you're like learning like a balancing act in your relationship. You're learning a balancing act like in your business. So you just, as a person, you're transforming each time. And then on top of that, you're also trying to transform in regards to your design elements of the homes and, okay, you know, what am I going to make these bathrooms look like and kitchens? And it's just, all of it is just like, you're just growing, just continual growth.
Definitely. Definitely. I love it. I love it. Yeah. That's incredible. That's incredible. So thank 3 you. At one time, huh? What was that like?
Insane.
Talk to us about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's even busy. It's even busy now. Like right now I have 5 going, right? Because and I have one, it's not in another state, right? But it's 4 hours away. So I had to learn to like balance teams. Having, okay, so one team might go over here and start the foundation, you know, because now I'm doing some new builds. And then once they're done with that, I'm going to bounce them over to, you know, the next address. They'll work on the foundation while that person's doing framing. So really what I've learned over time is that fix and flipping is really more about project management and having the right teams and the right people. I'm still very probably overly hands-on. And again, as I talk about design is everything to me. I like to be known for my bathrooms and my kitchens. So I spend a lot of time like picking out materials and marbles and porcelains and things like that. So yes, you have, you know, crazy experiences where people are supposed to show up. They never show up. I was driving down to Brunswick and I'm like, okay, I need a painter because my house is 5,000 square feet. It's a 113-year-old Victorian home that we are converting into an Airbnb and event space, right? I don't know anyone in Brunswick really. I'm like, okay, great. My fiance's from there, but that's, you know, your kid. Get a referral, call the guy. I talked to him weeks ago, letting him know I'm coming down. I'm literally in the car on the way, 2 hours out, jumping through hoops to get there on time. He cancels on me like, hey, I'm booked for like the summer. I'm not going to be able to do this. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm coming down to like, you know, give this man business. I'm trying to support. So it's things like that. Like I still experience, mm-hmm. you know, just, I don't know, delays, like difficulties with it, but you know, now we got this great guy who's painting the house. And so it's just things like that. Like you just have to really get tough and also get savvy to have other resources or other backups to the backup.
Definitely. That makes a lot of sense. And in the beginning, how are you finding deals? Were you sending out mailers? Mm-hmm. Were you just cold calling MLS? Like how are you sourcing?
So at that time, that was before the market is what it is now, where there's like no inventory. Mm-hmm. So originally I was able to find a couple of my first deals on MLS. They were like foreclosures. Now that is so difficult. And I have definitely been working closer with wholesalers that I trust and know and have like good relationships with. Mm-hmm. And those have been the ones that have been helpful to find the deals. But even like our Brunswick home, we were just down there visiting for the weekend and I drove by the house and we saw it and it had a for sale sign. And again, that was how we got that one, you know, calling the realtor, negotiating multiple appraisals, things like that. But I do think in this environment, you do have to be scrappier. Like you have to get out there, you have to call, you know, email, or if that's not something that you want to do, find a wholesaler that you really like that you can, you know, give addresses to and build a relationship with so they can do that work for you while you focus on other areas in your business. Because, you know, some people don't have the gift of gab and some people do not want to make 100 calls a day.
Yeah, it's true.
So you have to find what works for you. If that's not yours, you know, your ministry, as I like to call it, go and find someone else who it is and make that relationship.
Definitely. That makes a lot of sense. And you mentioned a couple of times just how different the market is now than when you started. And I know you've been in Atlanta for a while. Investing in like 5 years or so. Can you talk to us about that and just how much it's changed? I was in Atlanta, I think 2 years ago for a wedding and I had a great time. But yeah, just tell us more about, you know, how the market has changed and kind of what you're seeing now compared to what it was like in the beginning.
Absolutely. So gentrification is going crazy here in Atlanta. Especially in certain zip codes, you can literally drive down the street and you're watching it happen. You're like, okay, old crack house, regular house, brand new build, fix and flip. I mean, as you're driving, there's tons of dumpsters, there's teams, and this is all over the place. It's not just one area. It's not just Atlanta. It's a city or an OTP. So the outer perimeter and the inner. So it's going on all over our state. And I think because there's a lot of opportunities because there are older homes here and those homes, I can give you some numbers. So like one house I bought for $100,000. We did a new build for a little over 130 grand. These homes are selling for $425,000 right now. Right.
Oh.
And I have a couple of those. Yeah. Just to give you some perspective, another house that I just did a flip, that house I bought for 109 grand, did a little over a $70,000 renovation. That was a full gut. I mean, brand new everything, brand new roof, plumbing, electrical, new floors, everything. That one, again, that one's sold for over $255,000. So again, you know, another almost $80,000 profit. So the houses are there. The market's there. Again, you can see it all over, you know, in these neighborhoods. And it's just about, again, trying to buy low and sell as high as you can. Right now, though, here in the market, houses that are going for those, like the cash houses, which it used to be like the $100,000 range, now it's bumped up to like 150 to 200 grand with an intent to sell high threes, low 400s. And for those homes, people are offering cash and they're going over asking. So it's making it more competitive for like smaller brand new investors who are coming in trying to use like HART money or trying to use other sources, because someone could come in and say on, you know, $150,000 house, I don't care what it appraises for, I just want it because I know the market is insane. So they're like, okay, here's an offer, 210 cash, close in 2 days, you want it. And you know, who doesn't, right?
Yeah.
Of course we want that. So that's what you're seeing. I have a girl in the group who she posted the other day that she had a, I forgot what this house was listed at, but all in all, she had 188 offers on this home, 188 offers in 48 hours. She literally had to tell this girl, she's like, look, I'm sorry, we're not even taking any more offers. 188 offers, insane. So it's I'm competitive. Going away. Yes, it's competitive. Like wow. You have to really get in the game. And even while you're in your current project, you need to be thinking about what your next ones are, yeah. You know, because once you finish that, you don't want to be left kind of like sitting around waiting for your next deal to come in. Again, that's why relationships with like wholesalers are so important, because you need people that are always like boots on the ground, mm-hmm. People that have bird dogs, people that are emailing, you know, using, what are those called? Like photo, I'm forgetting what those are, but photo cards, whatever, mailers. And they're trying to entice people to sell their home. And now's a great time. Why wouldn't someone, you know, want to sell a house? If you have a dilapidated house, you're not even taking care of it, maxed out, you know, sell it for 2 times what it was worth 2 years ago.
That's yeah. Insane. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. Are most of the people who buy the property flip, is it families, investors, a mix of the two?
That buy my homes?
Yeah, the ones that you flip, yeah.
Families. And gotcha. To be honest with you, in most cases, every single person that has bought my home has been a single Black mom, every single one of them, or just a Black woman. Mm-hmm. I have yet to sell to any Caucasian families, none of them. And the cool part is that I spend a lot of time on my design and like my bathrooms and my kitchens. And so the feedback that I always get at the closing table is they're like, oh my gosh, I really felt like this bathroom was designed with me in mind. Like they're like, I walked in, I just wanted it. I wanted the bathroom. And I'm like, you're not even going to spend a ton of time in there. But that is why I design it, because I have like a vibe that I like. And I feel like, you know, everybody should kind of have a luxury space in their house. They should have a beautiful home where there's a place that you can go in and relax and just wind down. And that might be the freestanding sunken tub, you know, chandelier somewhere in the bathroom, you know, just, I like glam. So yeah. I try to like leave a little sprinkle of that in all my houses.
Definitely. Definitely. Sounds like you got a good formula. You and your now husband, right?
He's my fiance still.
Fiance. Okay. Sorry. Mm-hmm. You two work together, of course. Can you talk to us about how you divvy up the responsibility? So I know that you do the design. How is that split up? And I know you mentioned having like balance and finding balance in the relationship. I guess mm-hmm. along with that, how do you balance the relationship side with the business side too? Cause I mean, I'm sure it's great, but I would just love to hear more about your perspective.
Yeah, lines blur all the time. and yes, it is great, but yes, it's also difficult, right? Because my fiance and I are totally different people. We're so different. He is very more like straight and narrow, numbers driven. He's a financial advisor. So however you see a financial advisor, that is him to a T. Where me, I'm more like creative, unorganized, kind of loud. He's not that person, right? So over time, we used to just try to do like whatever we saw going on in the house. Like, okay, he's over here, I'm over there. And we learned that that does not work at all. So it's like, okay, stick to your ministry. As I always say, what are you good at? I'm good at design. I'm good at putting colors and textures and materials together. I even designed the blueprint for the homes that I'm building. They're all, I go to my architect and I'm like, okay, Jason, this is what I want to do. This is the feel of the house. I want an ensuite. I want a loft. I want, you know, whatever. And he takes my ideas and creates it for me. Well, Nick is amazing at budget. So he keeps me on track with my spending. He keeps me on track with budgets for materials, paying our contractors, making sure our loans are taken care of, negotiating with, you know, our subs and our contractors and things like that. Well, he allows me to be free and to do what I'm good at, which is highlighting the design and landing new clients for coaching and things like that. So it's a good balance, But yeah, of course it does create not drama, but it just creates elements or layers to your relationship. Cause sometimes I don't want to stay on budget. I want the most expensive thing. And he's like, no, that's not what we budgeted here for. And then too, you know, sometimes things don't go right. Right. Like we're driving down to meet, you know, a painter and he cancels all of a sudden. Well, I might be able to handle that because I'm a little more free flowing. But for somebody who's not like that, that's like an irritant. Right. So now half the day might be messed up because this person did something. So it is really learning about like how to balance the relationship and still have fun within working together and not always just trying to be perfect, but more so staying in your lane so that it creates balance. That's the bigger part of it.
Definitely. I like that breakdown. A lot of people, the reason I wanted you to explain that is because a lot of people have like a thing with not wanting to work with like, whether it's family, whether it's their significant other, it can work, you know,
And it can. I think
those who are considering it or who have like a venture, they may want to pursue with a partner. You just got the game right now. It's something that's possible.
Yeah. You just have to figure out what your niche is in the business and then stick to that. And even Nick is like, he's really good now at designing bathrooms. Like he has beautiful bathroom designs. And I'm like, where did this come from? Like, when did you develop this? And so I'm like, oh, okay. I enjoy that because I'm like, oh, this is cool. Now we can, you know, go into floor and decor or wherever we want to go get materials from. And we can actually enjoy it because he's interested. So I like that, like growth on every side, you know, things like that are just important, I think, in your relationship and in your business.
100%. So new builds, talk to us about that. How'd you get into new builds? That seems pretty daunting to a lot of people. So I'd love to just share what your experience has been like with that.
Absolutely. So the first new build that I did was on accident. And let me explain what happened. So I bought a house for $45,000. Okay. I had a $90,000 renovation budget and I'm like, okay, I know that this house is like not in good condition. Again, here's the relationship part. I told Nick, I was like, you know, H to the no, I don't want this house. Not for me. I can't even get into it visually. He's like, no, this house is going to be great. Like we're going to do it. It's going to be good. So we get into this house and as we're gutting it out, it's like falling apart around us. Like at one point, like half the house was like leaning to the side. Like a whole dangerous liability. Yeah. Wow. And there's local kids in the neighborhood. Oh, because it structurally was unsound. The person that sold us the home, we bought it through some tech thieves. This house, they built the home on bricks. So like, imagine you go outside, you find a brick on the street and you decide to put it under a house. Now imagine like 500 brick all over the base of a home as foundation. So we did get an inspection on the house, but the floor was intact. So it was almost kind of impossible to see that this was what was going on. Needless to say, we hire our structural engineer, Bill. We're like, Bill, come look at this house. He's like, look. He's like, guys, you know, one in five of these every single year, they fall down. He's like, you have a choice. You either take the liability and let this thing fall down. Whatever happens, you could be sued. It could ruin your business. Or take some more money, tear this thing down, and let's rebuild it. So I'm like, oh my God, I'm not even equipped for this. I've never built a house, let alone in my business plan, I wasn't building for like another year, right? Or two. I wanted to learn some more. Oh no. So the house is leaning. We're like, this is going to kill someone. So we knock the whole house down. Okay. And from there, I had to learn how to build this house. So I had a $90,000 budget. I needed more money. We had to come out of pocket, extra money to finish this house up. I learned from foundation to framing to flooring, you know, electrical, plumbing. And I have a lot of those contacts anyways from fixing and flipping. But now I'm doing it from a new build perspective. And really what I realized is that new builds are easier on the back end. It's just more work on the front end with the design aspect of it, the permitting aspect of it, even hooking up to, you know, like Georgia Power. You know, how do you get the hookup from the wires on the street to the wires on the house? And how do you hook up the plumbing from the street to the plumbing on the house? So all those things I had to learn by fire. Like, oh my God, I'm on a 1-year loan. I have to get this house built. I'm way under budget with my budget. And we built it. So now I have two more. But my first experience, that was how I learned it. And so now we've gotten, you know, just a whole team that was pulled together from that one experience. And Now, again, if I had to do it all over again, there's no way I would ever want to do it in that form or in that order. But I love new builds. Like, it's so much easier than going behind somebody's, you know, work from 1932 and trying to pull out all the cast iron pipes in a house to repipe, you know, things like that. It's kind of easier, but you do have to be a little bit more creative with, like, okay, well, what do houses look like in the area? Are we doing ranch, two-story? Do they have laundry rooms? Do they even have pantries? Like, what's going on? And trying to not overbuild or over renovate for the area, but to still stay competitive in the market.
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely. Wow. That is, I'm just mind blown because I'm just trying to imagine, like, you think you're going in, you know, probably do your usual flip, you know?
Absolutely.
And then it's like, actually, no, we're just going to break this whole thing down and build it up from scratch.
And build it from scratch. We're going to bulldoze your house. Like, excuse me, ma'am, can you move over? We're going to knock this whole house down. I remember I stood there and I, like, in my head, I was like, oh my God, like, what have I gotten into? It's like, I really need this to work out. Like, I really need this to work. And it did, but it's again, just uninspected, like things like that. So it's funny because whenever girls in my group, they're like, oh, I found this house for $45,000. I'm like, don't do it. Make sure that it's worth it. Check everything, you know, but that's experience. Again, that's what you pay for with coaches and classes and things like that, like mistakes. You know, I never had anyone for that, which was the reason why I created Black Girls in Real Estate. And I was like, okay, I want other women to never have to go through this. Like, you should have a place that you can go to or a mentor or help with it. I've had to develop all my own contacts, all my own people along the way. So just a different journey.
Definitely. Definitely. That's incredible. That's incredible. So I'm just thinking a lot about what we've discussed so far. And it's just amazing when you think about that beginning moment, right? You sold the house. You and your fiance were like, you know what? We're going to get into this real estate thing. We're going to flip properties. And in the midst of that, you lost your job. You lost your job. And look, when I'm just looking how far you've come just in this bite-sized story, I think it's just an amazing testament to just perseverance and just going all out. You know, it seems just at that point, you're at a crossroads. It's like, all right, either I'm going to make this work, do everything I can to make this work, or I'm just going to sit down and lean into this sadness that I'm feeling from losing this job I had. So I just think it's very commendable and very inspiring just to see how much your life could change in just a 5 or 6 years. So I just think that's amazing.
Thank you. I always tell people, it's like, you don't know what you can do when you get out of your own way. And sometimes you have to be forced into it. Cause I know, like, if I had kept my job, like if I was fixing and flipping and was still able to work my job, and in my mind, I'm like, okay, well, I can still make, you know, a little over 6 figures with bonus, and I can do fix and flips. If I did, you know, for a year, I'm profit 50,000, that's 200 grand plus my job. Like, I would have stayed, like, I wouldn't have done it. And now when I look back, hindsight, I'm like, God, I wish I had almost like done it sooner, you know, but there's a time and a place for everything. And of course we feel like that now, but back then I probably never would have done it. But I do try to encourage the women in my group to like, believe in yourself, take those risks, take those chances, like the things that keep you up at night, which you feel like your vibrations, like when you vibrate high, you're like, oh, that feels really good. Like I call those God winks, right? That's like a wink towards you. Like, this is what you're supposed to be doing. And sometimes we don't listen to that. And then we just were like, oh, that can't be it. But that's really what it is. Like whatever excites you, keeps you up at night, you're talking to your friends and, you know, sometimes friends and family, they're the last ones to support you. You know, you just kind of got to like go with your gut is, I guess, what I'm trying to say. Yeah,
definitely. Definitely. And can you tell us more about the group? As I mentioned, I went through the page and checked things out. I was very impressed. So I'd just love for you to share more about the group, you know, what you offer within the group, why all the Black women listening to this episode should join the group. Take some time and let us know what's going on.
Thank you. So Black Girls in Real Estate, I created as like the FUBU for African-American women that are interested in it in whatever capacity. It's for us, it's by us, right? So it is for wholesalers, it is for agents, it's for loan originators, investors, builders, any capacity in which you are interested or in real estate, we have something or somebody in here for you in the group. And within it, I do a lot of coaching. I teach a lot of classes. Like this month, we have me and another woman who's a friend of mine. Her name's Jewel Bozeman. We're doing a building business credit class where we're teaching women how to get $30,000 in business credit that they can use to fix and flip or to grow. I also have a class coming out with Devon Reeves. Devon Reeves, she did the $8.3 million Hilton deal with her friend Jessica. We have another class coming out regarding syndication, how to pull funds together, OPM to do deals. So I do a lot of things like that, like a lot of coaching. Additionally, we have the Black Girls in Real Estate Conference coming up, and we still have spots for that too. That's going to be at Breathless Resort and Spa in Cancun, Mexico. It's an all-inclusive trip where we're bringing guest speakers. So again, Devon Reeves is going to be there. She'll be talking about hotels and syndication. I'll be talking about fixing and flipping. Nicole Briscoe, she's highlighting mobile home investing. Jewel Bozeman Credit, my friend Talia Diaz on being a luxury real estate agent. So there's just all these different genres or niches of real estate where these women can come, we can get out, we can network, but you can also come and learn. So you can kind of figure out, okay, where do I fit in and how do I get started in it? It gives you a place for that. And then additionally, I am working with Devon to pull together a hotel purchase deal for fourth quarter for the group as well. So creating Black hotel owners that are women, and it's more than just women. Really anyone can buy in, but you know, our group is Black girls. My group is Black girls in real estate. So just a lot of opportunities for togetherness, connecting, and investing. And that's my entire basis. Like, I believe in the power of African-American women and what we do and control for our families. You know, yes, men are the head of it, but a lot of times we're single homes. We hold a lot of the wealth. So wherever we can pivot our intentions to grow and be better, we impact our families. And so it's super important for us to get the right education with the right people. So that's where Black Girls in Real Estate comes in.
Incredible. Incredible.
Thank you.
And then, so the coaching and stuff that you offer, is that within the group, or can someone reach out to you or find information directly from you regarding like individual coaching or maybe other products you have?
Absolutely. So on our website, blackgirlsinrealestate.com, you can find my coaching. Right now, it's actually, I'm running a COVID special. It's $1,000 for 6 weeks of one-on-one coaching with me. It will not say that. So if you're interested, you know, ping in now before you get busy and grow. So you can do it through our website. And then also you can connect with us on Black Girls in Real Estate on Instagram, and then through the group on Facebook as well. So the coaching is more so geared towards fixing and flipping and then strategy. So if you've never done it, but you wanted to do it, you're trying to figure out how do I get in the game. I'm teaching women how to strategize, put together a game plan, finding different, you know, investment vehicles that they may have and may have overlooked as a means to pull funds from, and then teaching how to use business credit in order to do the funds or to have the funds to start the work for the projects, which is another issue that you typically see for minority investors is the funding part. And then the cool part is I broker. So once we come through my whole entire program, I can then help you secure funds to go and get your first flip done or any flip.
I love it. I love it. You have hands in the entire process. That's amazing.
Yes. Thank you. Yeah, I love it. I mean, real estate, it's my life. I just believe in how it can just completely change your whole trajectory. And I'm living it on a day-to-day basis. You know, a lot of the girls that come to me, they're like, I just want to leave my 9-to-5. Like, can I do it? Is this real? Do you know anyone doing it? And I'm like, hey.
I'm doing
this
it.
Is
I'm
my whole life. I'm here. I'm like, you bought the class, but you don't know my story. Let's talk from the beginning, from point A, and then go all the way down. And then they're like, oh my gosh, I'm so excited. So I just want to help people, you know, change their lives. I love the fact that if I want to go on vacation, I'm not punching anyone's clock. There's no, I'm out of office. It's on me. And if I want to go somewhere and work somewhere else, I can go to another country and work somewhere else. So it's just about just creating your ideal life and implementing strategy to get there.
Definitely. Definitely. So when you think about just growing up as a kid, going through your adulthood and such, could you have ever imagined that your life will be like this and you'd be doing what you're doing now and enjoying the freedom you have now, helping so many people as you are now?
Absolutely not. This wasn't even remotely on my radar. I was like, okay, I have to go get a corporate job and I got to blaze the corporate trail and I got to go be a president of somebody's company. And that was what I thought I wanted to do. And then I got into it and I was like, I'm an outlier here. Like, I don't even really fit in. Like, I'm good at my job. I was one of those people, I was such a high performer. I was a recruiter for most of my career. So I was like, okay, how many people do I have to recruit? Oh, you have to recruit 10 people for the year. So I would recruit like 16 people in the first quarter. And then I'm like, well, I already did my job. So like, why do I have to show up? Like, I don't have to come to the meeting. I already finished. Why am I here? You know, and you can't have that attitude. You know, you have to be a team player. They still have expectations. And I struggled with that. I was like, this is crazy. And then I was like, well, how does somebody who's never done my job, how do they get to be my boss? Like, I didn't understand that. And again, I was like, this doesn't work. So I had questions. And having questions and being in corporate doesn't always match. Like, they want you to follow culture and protocol. And I struggled with it. So it was almost a blessing to be able to find something that I can do where I can still do it at a very like high achieving level, but do it on my terms and then live my life on my terms. And so it's a blessing.
Definitely. That's incredible. What are some words of wisdom you would leave with the listeners? Just considering everything you've experienced, everything you've gone through, the ups and downs, the success you've had, like what are a couple of tips you would give to someone who maybe they're interested in real estate or just taking a leap of faith in entrepreneurship? What would you say to somebody like that?
Ooh, so much to say, but that's a really good question as well. I personally believe that, I don't want to answer this. There's so many things that we see on social media, right? That make people think, oh, I'm behind, or, oh my gosh, look at what this girl's doing. She's living this life. She's so great. And I'm at this position in my life. Like, it makes you feel a way, right? It makes you feel less than in some ways. And you're like, okay, well, how do I get to where this girl is? And I think people need to realize that influencers, we post the best parts of our lives, right? And oftentimes it's like the most highest achieving moments. We're like, oh yeah, I have a check for 80,000. But you also don't see the days where like bank accounts are negative. You know, you're trying to figure out where your next check is coming from. How am I going to make this work? So I feel like comparing yourself is like the thief of joy. That's one thing. Everybody has their own journey. That's why I believe in strategy. You have to figure out what works for you and your family and how to implement that. So don't compare to somebody's like day 10,000 to your like day one. And also community. Entrepreneurship is one of the loneliest journeys I can even personally say I've been on. Because when you start to perform and you start to level up in your life, sometimes people don't understand that. And they're like, oh, well, she thinks she's this, or, you know, they kind of hate or whatever. So you want to have a community of other people, friends, that are interested in doing the same stuff that you're doing. Like, all my friends are basically entrepreneurs. I do still have friends from growing up, you know, that have made other choices. They're doing other things and I love them. But you need the support of somebody that understands what it's like to go through the highs and lows of it. And that is why I created Black Girls in Real Estate. Like, I needed some support, some friendship, some sisterhood. Like, okay, y'all, let's come together. Today was awesome. Maybe tomorrow won't be, you know, just a place to go. So believe in yourself, follow your heart. Don't compare yourself. Have a plan. That's the biggest thing. And get life insurance and also get health insurance. It's cheaper and it's easier to get than what people make it seem like in corporate. Because I think corporate, again, I don't bash 9 to 5, but I think they implement in your mind, oh, if you don't have insurance with us or life insurance with us, like, you can't get it, but you can. And there's ways around it. So again, do your research, figure out the things that you need for your family to survive in that dollar amount, and make sure you have that dollar amount coming in before you just jump out on a cliff. That's my advice.
Love it.
Thank you.
Love it. Appreciate it. Definitely. This has been a very, very powerful interview. I just keep thinking about the losing the job moment. I think that's like the turning point. I feel like I'm writing your biography or something. But,
yes.
You know, I just love that moment. And I just love how you've been able to progress, work with your fiance to build this great business, and not only build a great business for yourself, but now you have a community of over 40,000 Black women who you're empowering to do similar things. So, you know, I'm just excited to see what the future holds. I can't wait to hear about the hotel deal. We'll have to bring you back on and bring you all on and to chat some more about that. But yeah, this has been a great interview.
Thank you. I really appreciate you extending your platform and your time to me. It means a lot. So I'm grateful. Again, I just look to make authentic connections and build relationships with people. So starts here. So I appreciate you.
Definitely. Definitely. One more time. Could you drop all your social media and websites and such? We'll have these in the show notes as well, but just so people can capture that.
Yes, absolutely. So my personal page is Miss Janine Marie, JeanineMarie. And then it's Black Girls in Real Estate. That's our handle on Instagram. And it's also our handle on Facebook. And then our website is also www.blackgirlsinrealestate.com. We're across the board. So I would love for you to, you know, link in, join in with us. If you're interested in the conference, we still have room. So please feel free. It's going to be a bunch of amazing Black women coming together to network, learn, and have a good time. We have a little over 125 tickets that are already sold. Wow. So we're just trying to like take over Breathless and show them, you know, the power of beautiful Black women and show up to show out. That's and right. Have a good time. So I'm excited about it.
Definitely, definitely. Appreciate you again, Janine. And thank you everyone for listening to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast. If you'd like to support us as an official patron, go to patreon.com/blackrealestatedialogue to learn more. If you're interested in any of our resources, courses, and so forth, you can go to blackrealestatedialogue.com and find everything there. Thank you all again so much. I look forward to hearing from you all soon.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast. Remember to follow us on Instagram at Black Real Estate Dialogue and on Twitter at Bread Podcast. That's B-R-E-D Podcast. Until next time.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.